children are entitled to a relationship with both of their parents, and they're entitled to know who they are.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute talking about her presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you take that entitlement as basic and reason backwards from that, what you'll end up with is the whole traditional Christian sexual morality. Get married, stay married, and only have sex with the person you're married to.
You can meet and hear Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse making the case against the sexual revolution at the Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120 and includes three meals. Child care is free. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston. The Associated Press has the headline, Women's Health Docs Say Trump Ignores Birth Control Science. The Trump administration's new birth control rule is raising questions among some women's health experts who say it overlooks known benefits of contraception while selectively citing data that raises doubt about the effectiveness and safety of contraception. We're going to be answering the question whether or not the rollback, it's called a rollback of the HHS mandate in part, is dependent on poor science. Joining us to do that on this Thursday afternoon, October the 12th, Dr. John Pierce, he's an OBGYN and chairman of the Women's Health at Liberty University's College of Osteopathic Medicine. Dr. Pierce, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
In that AP story, we have Hal Lawrence, who's CEO of the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, saying this. This rule is listing things that are not scientifically validated and in some cases that are wrong to try and justify a decision that is not in the best interests of women and society. What's your response to that?
I know Dr. Lawrence, and I really think what we have to talk about is what do we really know? What can I really say for sure? And what do I really not know? Whenever I talk to patients, I like to be able to word it that way because patients understand that. And I think what we really know is, and this is usually based off what we call emergency contraceptives, because that is a significant component of this. And emergency contraceptives are designed to try to stop pregnancy or to stop the egg and the sperm coming together. Or what we don't know, and I think this is what he's alluding to, we cannot prove that emergency contraceptives stop or don't stop fertilization after the egg and sperm come together. We clearly know that they can slow down or stop ovulation, but we don't know for sure if they affect fertilization after it occurs. So a lot of times this will come out, oh, it's not an abortifacient. This doesn't cause abortion. Well, I think the real intent is, does it stop what's already in motion? If it does that, there's a lot of us that would have a conscious decision, oh my goodness, this is going too far. And we don't talk enough about this, and I think we really have to be able to talk about what we really know and what we don't really know. So I think by stating that, I think it's a little bit of an overstatement because we cannot really say exactly what occurs because there are so many variables.
Ethically, if we cannot say, or if at this point we cannot know for sure, then ethically, aren't we bound to err on the side of safety?
Todd, I believe so. I strongly believe so. From a Hippocratic Oath perspective that I took when I became a doctor, under no circumstances would I ever want to do any harm. Now, you have to understand that that whole Hippocratic philosophy has changed over the last 10 to 20 years, meaning that even what used to be in there, under no circumstances would I either have sex with a patient or would I prescribe anything that is potentially an abortifacient, that has changed a lot of times. And a lot of times when people finish up medical school, that is removed from that oath that is taken off often after medical school. So I think we really have to look at what do we really know, what do we truly believe, and therefore what must we do?
Talk about the HHS mandate as it was put into place during the Obama administration. It would have required that organizations that may have conscientious objections to abortifacients provide for those in their health care coverage. What does the new rule do?
Well, it rolls back some of those requirements. I think in the heart of this is there's this thought process that birth control, that emergency contraceptives, that abortion will solve all our social ills, that they will take away the problems with teen pregnancy or single pregnancies or unwanted pregnancy. And I think what we're failing to really look at is how do we encourage people to have healthy living? How do we help them to make right decisions? How can we, and I say this because I really do believe that this is a position that really depends on what your worldview is, but how do we personally and relationally have people, and from my perspective, it would be what I would say would be a God-centered worldview, how do we make wise decisions so that it goes well? Now, the mandate, it changes this, and the question is, where is the onus? Where is the responsibility? Is it on responsible people that should make their own decisions, or can the government come up with something that will fix everything? And I think to think that we in politics or government will solve these problems is really untrue. And I really think we got to get back to thinking, okay, how do you make really good decisions, and what does that mean? And let's talk about that. Let's have great dialogue.
Let's discuss the morning after pill. And the thing that has concerned me really is from the end of the Food and Drug Administration, that at least as I've observed these things as not a medical expert, it seems even to someone like me, a layperson, that the FDA did not do sufficient testing of these pills to see what they would do, not only to the embryo, but what effects they would have on, I think we sometimes say women, but in many cases it's young women or girls who may end up having access to them. What are your concerns there?
Well, there's multiple concerns. One is they can be made readily available so someone can go get them without necessarily a prescription. I think when we, you know, women are in a difficult position, and often when there is an unwanted pregnancy or sex without sexuality with regret, we often then act like it should not be discussed. And when someone goes out and just does this, typically they go out and they do it on their own. They often don't tell family or friends, let alone talk to a doctor, a medical expert who can help them go through the process. And what it typically does is then it isolates women, I think, more and more. It pushes them away that, okay, it's okay, you don't have to talk about this, when in reality, most everyone wants to talk about what it means, what my body's going through, and how I can handle this well or make better decisions down the road to make sure I'm healthy.
Talk about the conscience of those who are kind of attendant to the medical profession, pharmacists and others, who are also facing or have been facing challenges to their conscience about these kind of possibly abortifacient drugs?
Well, I think anyone who studies all this realizes, you know, there's a difference between ovulation when the egg is released from the ovary, when fertilization occurs, that's when the egg and the sperm come together, and then when implantation occurs. When we don't know exactly about this, it goes back to, okay, I believe in life. I do not believe that we should be interfering or causing any sort of abortion in any way. So if there's ever any question, I don't want to be involved in that. Often now with the mandates, I'm just supposed to prescribe something. I'm just supposed to give. Or said differently, I love the analogy or the word picture, I'm just supposed to be a Coke dispenser. Someone comes up to me and they press Diet Coke and I'm just supposed to give them a Diet Coke. I don't believe that. I'm a physician. I want to be able to talk about what's going on. How do you make wise decisions? One of the best thoughts about what we do in medicine is we're trying to teach others what they ought to do to be healthy. And when you think about ought, that involves moral, ethical, social, relational decisions. And I should be being able to help a patient go through that. If I'm left with just dispensing, then I'm just a technician. And I'm just giving something because someone demands it of me. That's not why I ever went into medicine, and it's not what I believe is best in patient care.
With that said, then how important is your conscience in your ability to carry out your vocation as a medical professional in a diligent way?
So I believe my conscience is incredibly important, and patients want to know, what do I really think? What do I really believe? Is that what I would tell my wife, my mother, my sister to do? And if I cannot speak freely about my conscience, then I'm restricted, and we also give less and less information to patients to allow them to make a wise decision, to allow them to make an informed decision. And if we remove conscience, which, you know, I would be distraught. I would quit medicine, because conscience is so important, whether you're talking about in business or in medicine. And if I'm forced to do something without thinking about what's right and wrong or about what's good and best, then you would, you know, really negate me as a physician, and you would really strip me of the ability to counsel patients well.
So with only about 30 seconds here, it sounds as though these kind of mandates affect not only the unborn, the women who would take these abortifacients, but also everyone up the line in terms of carrying out their jobs the way that they see best.
That's very true. Whether you're talking about in nursing, whether you're talking about in pharmacy, whether you're talking about in medicine, if I cannot pay attention to my conscience, then you know, you're going to be forced into settings where you just follow. And we should learn lessons like from the Holocaust era, when doctors just followed something without thinking about what to do. Does my conscience fit with this? Is this best by my knowledge in medicine and how I make decisions now? We must be thinking about that. And I'm not trying to compare this whole thing about the Holocaust, but when you go back and you look at that, doctors went down a road where they stopped thinking, where they stopped paying attention to your conscience. And that part of it is really dangerous.
Dr. John Pierce is an OBGYN and chairman of Women's Health at Liberty University College of Osteopathic Medicine, also a member of the Board of Trustees for the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Pierce, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Ty. I really appreciate it.
Folks, when you open a Lutheran Federal Credit Union loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to our Ministry of the Month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church, lutheranfcu.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the movie Blade Runner 2049. The first one, Blade Runner, was near and dear to many people's hearts, kind of a cult classic. Is this a worthy successor to that first one? Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. We'll talk with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of a rosary prayer event in Poland. It's not unusual for Catholics to pray the rosary, but why were they praying? What were they praying? And it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebrough. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
If you plan to buy one item commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I highly recommend the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's titled The Reformation. You'll want to display this richly illustrated book on your coffee table, in your church library, or anywhere you can easily flip through this informative and beautiful book. The Reformation is written by regular guest Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Learn more about The Reformation at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.